As we return to our seats from that most delicious snack, Miss Carol, thank you so much. Yeah, you brought the desserts in, didn't you? And Christy, thank you very much. Those were just amazing. Today is a very special day in our culture and our nation. It is a day that is set aside every year to celebrate, to honor, and to give respect to our mothers, women who answered a high calling of sacrificing themselves, their lives, their ambitions, and dreams for the sake of another. And though this would not be a celebration or holiday you would find on a church calendar typically, it makes it no less important, as doing this is a fulfillment of the very law of Moses. In fact, the fifth commandment in Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, and the land that the Lord your God is days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Paul would say, "This is the first commandment with a promise, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." There's something about honoring those around us who are honorable that brings blessing, great blessing. And don't worry, fathers, your day is coming. However, today is for our mothers. Biological, by law, spiritual, mentors, and keepers of the faith who have compassionately, kindly, and lovingly led us to where we are today. Today is for our mothers to be honored. Why? Because they are honorable. In fact, there would be no us if it were not for them, literally. Moreover, they, just like fathers, are made once again in the image and likeness of God. As Genesis 1:27 points out, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This means that it is not just our fathers who bear the responsibility of revealing the goodness and nature of God, but also our mothers. And our mothers have a unique capability and empowerment given to them by God to do just this. As you represent a divine aspect of God, just like men, you represent part of his nature and part of his heart that he has given you to show your children his very nature, whether they're biological or spiritual. Because taking on a call of motherhood goes beyond what we would call biological children, to those God who would bring into our lives as spiritual children, as God has brought many people around us for us to be that beacon of hope, those hands and feet of Jesus present here and now in someone's great time of need. Mothers, you are image bearers of the Most High God. And if you've ever doubted this, once again, let's just think about those passages we read during our call to worship, like Isaiah 66:13. "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Isaiah 49:15, one of my favorites. "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" I love that rhetorical question. Of course not. "That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." God's love is so much more. God will not forget because he is the perfect example of parenthood, for he creates both fathers and mothers made to represent his image. And then we had the Deuteronomy 32:18 verse. "You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. This is just to name a few. And yes, God is our Father. There is no mistaking that. He identifies himself as Father, but we must never forget that God also shares in the attributes and characteristics of our mothers, because we are all made in his image and in his likeness. Just like God is the creator of fathers, he is also the creator and author of mothers. God made them who they are supposed to be. There is no denying this. And even though they are flesh like all of us, and I know that some people can remember some painful memories of a mom, because we're all flesh. We're all in the same pit of sin. But nevertheless, our mothers are honorable and are deserving of honor on this day, but not just this day, every day. As that fifth commandment says, to honor your mother and father. This is why today the Spirit has really led me to talk about this and why moms are honorable. In particular, the characteristics that the Bible shows us of a godly mother and how we should show great honor to those godly women in our lives because they deserve it for their sacrifice. And today we're going to be looking at various biblical mothers to see these characteristics on display. So we can remember today, of all days, but not just today, every day, to honor and call out those characteristics in those we have in our lives we call mom. First and foremost, we must address a key aspect of biblical motherhood. And that's something we've already talked about, is motherhood isn't always done through conception, bearing, labor, and delivery. Of course, that's how we say you have a child and you have born a child. But in the faith, in Christ, motherhood is a calling that's given by God. It is a gift of the Spirit that He bestows upon you, ladies. And whether you have biological children or not, either way, God has put people into your life who need your guidance, your direction, your wisdom. When we begin to see this, we realize there are many spiritual mothers God has placed around us, even in this very place, that impart great wisdom and live lives worth honoring, whether they have biological children of their own or not. They give themselves in self-sacrifice for the sake of another, much like we see in one profound mother in the Bible. Her name is Naomi. She was a foreigner in the land of Moab during a great famine, and she lost her husband. But she still had two sons. In time, gained two daughters-in-law for them. But after 10 years, she would lose both of her two sons, left only with her daughters-in-law, and she instructs them to leave her, to go back to their mother's house so that they may find another husband, which means leaving her alone in her grief as she returned home to Jerusalem. And we see this in Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voices, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Just a few notes here. Naomi does not turn her daughters away out of anger. out of bitterness, out of selfish gain. She turns them away for their good. Because in this culture, to be a woman that was husbandless was a very, very serious thing, because women didn't have trades or jobs like they do today. They were completely dependent upon their husbands or their sons, and Naomi was deprived of them all. And Naomi, that's why Naomi is so bitter here in her situation. So she turns to her daughters, though, and says, her daughters-in-law, she turns to them and tells them to go back to their mother's house so they can find a husband for themselves. Naomi turns them away out of compassion and mercy. Naomi has become a mother to them and was seeking what she truly believed was best for them. Mother, not by biology, but by law. Whether it is by law or by biology, it is a mother nonetheless. Always looking after, always caring for, and trying to do what is best. She is doing what she finds to be the most loving thing to do. And when Ruth refuses to leave her, she continues to be a mother to her. Not only this, but as the book of Ruth shows us, she guides Ruth with wisdom and insight and leads Ruth into a place of security and safety. She also leads Ruth into a blessed life she would have never have had before. Naomi is crucial in guiding Ruth to find a new life and purpose. She provides wise counsel in approaching a relative of theirs named Boaz, demonstrating the importance of mentorship in motherhood. Because mothers always are imparting and giving guidance and wisdom to their children. Something that has no value, like nothing that we can actually value in things of this world. Whenever God is giving that wisdom through a mother, it is invaluable. And it is a gift of God, because godly mothers give guidance and wisdom to their children. We are shown how godly mothers offer guidance and wisdom to their children by the way that Ruth is helped by Naomi on how to navigate this life, leading to her marriage to Boaz, which leads to the lineage of King David just a few generations later. And if you know King David, he's in the lineage of someone else. Someone else is pretty important to us today. Does anybody know who that is? Jesus. The coming of the Messiah generations later. Of course, the whole point of being part of the lineage of Jesus is a pretty big deal, yes. But this was also good because before Boaz married Ruth, I've heard it said that he was pretty ruthless. This shows, thank you so much for that sympathy laugh. This shows how a godly mother can be a conduit of God's blessings, and that even through trials, God can bring about restoration and hope, even if those children were not born of that mother, but brought into her life by God. I also think of Lois and Eunice when we talk about godly mothers imparting wisdom and knowledge and guidance upon their children, and how they showcase the importance and influence of a mom in the life of a child, as they instilled genuine faith in Timothy, which Paul commended in his letters, what we see in 2 Timothy 1 through 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Their example emphasizes the significance of the teaching and molding of faith across generations, reminding us that a mother's influence can extend far beyond even their immediate family, as it even impacted Paul, as we can see here. He notices it. He sees it, showing us how motherhood is a calling given to the special woman we call mom by God. Who are those wonderful women in your life? Mother's Day can be a sorrowful day for many. Sometimes it's a day they remember the loss of a dearly loved mother, making some feel motherless. It may be a child departed from us way too soon, whether by death or strife, or a child who has never been. I hope all who feel the pain that comes with a day like Mother's Day can find comfort and hope in the truth displayed here about motherhood through Naomi's life and the history in the book of Ruth, understanding that motherhood is a calling that goes further than biology. Who is it that God has put in your life that's been those spiritual mothers, offering that wisdom and guidance that has brought you new life in Christ? Who has God put in your life that has become your spiritual children that you have been gifted with to give the gift of wisdom and guidance yourself? Mothers such as Naomi demonstrate the power of sacrificial love, the love that involves putting the needs of your children before you. Whether they were yours by biology, by law, or just by happenstance being in the same neighborhood as them. In a world of selfish preoccupation, we need more Naomis. We need more women who are willing to be mothers of the motherless. How is God calling you? Is there someone in your life God has put there to take on this calling today? Mothership by God's design is the picture-perfect example of the self-sacrificial love of Christ, demonstrated by him on the cross. For those of us who have a Naomi, how have you shown her honor today? Speaking of sacrificial love, this brings us to the following characteristic found in the Word of God through biblical mothers, and that is sacrificial love. A love that ruthlessly protects their children, even at the cost of their own lives. In fact, to become a mother or father is to choose to set aside one's own life for the sake of another. As you take on the responsibility of another child of God to hold, to protect, and to grow in the Lord, this is seen in nature and the world around us. It is the very natural instinctive response of all of God's creatures. Just do a simple Google search of a mama protecting her cub, a mama protecting her baby, and you're going to get a slew of videos, even of mother cows. Boy, there is nothing scarier than a mom cow deprived of her calfling. They can be very vicious. We think bulls are vicious. Take a calfling away from a mama cow. But there's all these videos, especially with mama bears. And boy, let me tell you, I know a few mama bears, and you don't poke them. You know, when you poke the bear, you get the claws. Moms ruthlessly protect their children and are also willing to do whatever it takes to save their life, even at the cost of their own. Like a video I found of a baby deer and its mama. Jesus was truly getting at something when he said, "Greater love has no one than this." Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that a mom lay down her life for her children. And is this not the love we see in the mothers of Scripture? I think of the most uncommonly spoken about mother who's named Jochebed. Does anybody know who Jochebed is? Moses' mother. Someone said Moses. I heard that. She is Moses' mother found in the second chapter of Exodus, where she's not even mentioned by name. But we know that she is Moses' mother because in chapter 6 it talks about how she's the mother of Aaron, mother of Moses, mother of Miriam, Moses' sister. But we don't really talk about her too much. You know, the people of Israel had been enslaved by the Egyptians because there came a Pharaoh, as the word shows us, that did not know Joseph and his faithful dealings with Egypt and was scared about the Hebrew nation. And the Hebrew nation kept growing and growing to a massive amount in size. And in fear, Exodus records this in Exodus 1:22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born of the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Then starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, we see this wonderful story of faithfulness of a mother's sacrificial love for her children and God's faithfulness to those who trust in him. In Exodus 2, 1 through 10, starting with the first two verses where it says, now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Can anybody picture trying to hide an infant for 3 months? That had to be very difficult. The risk also of this is immense. Have you ever thought about the danger she was putting not just her life but her whole household in? Because she was defying a decree of Pharaoh who ordered the death of all Hebrew male infants. Jochebed faced significant risk in hiding Moses from Pharaoh's, the Egyptians. The primary risk was being discovered and punished, potentially facing death or other severe consequences. She also faced the emotional burden of having to hide her son and the potential loss of him if the hiding place was breached. She willfully went against the Pharaoh for the sake of her son, as verse 3 shows through 5. She does this as long as she possibly can, but she doesn't just give up on this at all. She comes up with a plan. When she could not hide him no longer, she took for him a basket and made of the bulrushes and dabbed it with bitum and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. Can we just see the providential hand of God in all of this? When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, hey, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. This is but one story amongst many in the history of the Bible that shows the sacrifice that a mother can go to and the faithfulness of God in that sacrifice. And how great is our God who orchestrates all this, who brings the right people to the right place at the right time, to a mother who would not give up hope, who in all technicality followed the law when she put him in the reed of the basket because he was cast into the Nile, which was one of the reasons why Pharaoh could easily just take him and say, well, he was cast into the Nile, but he survived. There are actually some scholars that talk about this because the Nile represented a god of Egypt. He was one of the gods of Egypt. And so when they were saying, cast the babies into the Nile, if they survive, they survive. If they don't, they don't. It was a really interesting point I was reading about on this particular moment and how here's Jochebed, faithful to God, faithful to her child, willing to take on the risk to do what it takes so that he could have life. There are others, though. How often do we think about Mary and the risk that she took to give birth to Jesus? Mary had plans. Mary had ambitions. Mary had a path that she was already walking in life. As she was betrothed to Joseph, she's told by the angel, she's going to have a baby and Joseph's not the father, in a culture that could get you stoned for. And what is it that Mary responds? Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. the risk her and Joseph both took, fleeing from to Egypt from Herod, who sought to destroy the child, leaving their lives, their families, their homes for an uncertain future, demonstrating to us that godly mothers truly ruthlessly protect their children. Not to mention the coming of the cross. I think of the words of Simeon later in Luke 2, 34-35. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Can we just take a moment and just try to put ourselves in the shoes of Mary at the foot of the cross? What that must have been like. Just like we read from Isaiah 49:15 earlier, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Sure, Jesus was the Son of God, but he also was the Son of Mary. There's no doubt about that. She carried him for 9 months. She nurtured him as an infant, as a toddler, as a young man, as a boy. She watched people ridicule him. She saw him beaten and eventually hung to die on a cross. And she did all she could to protect him. Always was there for him. Even at the cross, in the midst of all that bitterness. Mothers give of themselves completely and wholly to the task of bringing forth life and growing life in this world. It makes me think of a quote by Charles Spurgeon for anyone who would ever want to disparage a mother. "Those who think that a woman detained at home by her little family is doing nothing, think the reverse of what is true. Scarcely can the godly mother quit her home for a place of worship, but dream not that she is lost to the work of the church. Far from it, she is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly trained of your offspring is your first and foremost pressing duty." I think of the sacrifices mothers make for us all, and what we give them in return each and every day. It doesn't really seem that fair, if you ask me. Have you ever taken the time on days other than Mother's Day just to call your mom and say thank you? Maybe you can't call your mother, and that's understandable. Maybe she's already on the other side of eternity. But looking at those other people in your life that have been spiritual moms and saying thank you, or taking a second to just go before God and give him thanks for mom. We will never know on this side of eternity how many crocodiles our mom stood between us and them. How many times our moms gave the ultimate sacrifice of themselves for our sake. I love what one writer once wrote. "The second greatest gift God gave to man was mothers, the first being Jesus." If you haven't and you can, I invite you to pull your phone out now and do it. To say thank you, mom. Or just to bow your head for a time and to give God thanks for mom. Mom, thank you. There is never a day that goes by that I don't think of the sacrifices that you have made so that I could have life. I am the man today because of who you are and what you did in raising me. Thank you. Bringing us to the next characteristic of a godly mother that mothers throughout history and scripture shows us. Godly mothers pray relentlessly for their children and live faithfully to the Lord. There is no greater example of this than Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel, the mother of Samuel, who prayed for a child. She was barren, and she prayed faithfully to the Lord, and she had said, "Lord, if you bring me this child, I will dedicate him to you." And in these prayers and in her faithfulness, She receives this child, and when she brings him to the temple, it says this in verse 26 of 28 of chapter 1, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live," talking to the priest, "my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Talk about a sacrifice of a mother doing what is best for her child. Her faith and commitment set the stage for Samuel, her son, to become a great prophet and a judge over Israel. Her continued influence in his life beyond this, as she would visit regularly, as the book of 1 Samuel shows us. Her continual regular visits, her prayers and petitions made way for God to do what God does best. Have you ever wondered the impact that your prayers and spiritual influence can have on your children and the children around you? I'll tell you, there's nothing more powerful than a praying mom. I've seen many praying moms move mountains for their children. And as a friend of mine once said, one of the single greatest things a parent can do for their child is pray for them and to seek the Lord's will for their life, and teach their children in the way they should go. Hannah is an amazing example of a mother who did just this, even childless, praying for the child who was not yet, but in faith of the child that would be. And how a mother's faithfulness and commitment illustrates the importance of prayer and dedication in motherhood, showing how a mother's influence can shape the very destiny of their children. These are but four characteristics, amongst many others, that the Word of God gives us. If we were to talk about all the others, I'm sure we would be here for the rest of the week. So four is where we have to be today. May they inspire us in our own journeys to truly live in honor of those in this world we call mother. And may it inspire those who are known as mom, reminding them of their great purpose in this calling given to them by God, and knowing it is making a lasting impact on not just your children, but the your children's children, and also the children God has just put around you, needing that mom who loves the Lord just like you. Just to quickly recap, godly mothers are not just biological, but can be spiritual in nature. Godly mothers give wisdom and guidance. Godly mothers ruthlessly protect their children. Godly mothers relentlessly pray for their children and walk in faith in Christ. It was Abraham Lincoln who was famed for saying, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And isn't that the truth? Therefore, may we all thank God, not just today, but every day for mom. And also, may we thank that wonderful lady if we can. In conclusion, let's be reminded of Proverbs 31, 29 through 31. "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.